Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do-do-do-do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
It's so hard to understand Azen's culture.
Nicole, did you actually look up anything about fucking Morocco?
My opera was down.
She doesn't even use opera as
Bing.
A browser. Yeah, she's using Internet Explorer.
Y'all remember that Bing was the search engine in China?
It was. Sorry.
Because it was owned by the government.
Oh, it was?
Yes.
Oh, yes, it was. Y'all, welcome to Classless. This is Reality Gaze, your Classless classic episode of season 4, episode 6.
Bing. You should have seen my eyes when I searched something that's like, powered by Bing. And I was like, are we in 1999?
Y'all, he was like, do you know they don't have Google here? And I went, Poodle, it's China.
I really should have Googled China.
And you should have Googled China.
I'm like Nickel.
Because you thought you could get Facebook. And I went, oh, honey, you can't get Facebook.
Well, I did a little research
but
beforehand.
You know what? Grindr works.
Grindr worked fine.
That's the power of porn.
And gay porn.
Yeah.
Yeah, Grindr worked very well.
Oh, were they happy to see you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sadly.
Especially in the smaller towns.
You didn't hook up with anyone because.
I didn't.
Oh, yeah. He was there when the fucking pandemic started in China.
Also, I always had a roommate, so it
was. Oh, the guy with the big dick who was crazy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who was bi, y'all? Poodle got the one roommate who's bi with a huge dick who was insane. That shit always happens.
He was insane. He just was a little off center.
Didn't he like scream one time in
the
bathroom?
Yeah, he had some rage issues. It was fine. It was fine.
And you were torn though, because his dick was huge.
I never saw it, but I
well, you could
knew.
See it in his pants. One time he came on the screen, and I saw it, and I could see it just flopping.
Yeah, well, you're such a dick pig. You'll just
me, yeah, me. Y'all, I wondered why Poodles. I said, oh, you picked up your apartment. There's not the wigs aren't everywhere. And y'all, he had a visitor last night.
I had a meeting. It went late.
Didn't want to lead with your wigs when someone sees a Peg McCarthy wig just sitting on your couch.
It's just not a. It's a bold first move, and you need to open people up to that.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just too much at first.
I get it.
Yeah.
Maybe they're into role play.
Again, you need to. Let them kind of ask.
Okay.
It's better that way.
Y'all,
this is episode 6.
Yeah, it's episode 6.
I can see the cracks.
I can see the cracks.
Is that a song?
Well, it's I Can Hear the Bell. It's from Hairspray.
Boy, that really misses the mark.
Well,
just because it had the same amount of words.
Well, you know, it just fit
Boy,
in my head.
I guess it's bottom of the barrel now.
Yeah, well. I'm already here with you. We can't go anywhere else but up.
Where else to go?
Let's just jump into Nickel and Azen.
They have just, well, as I find this infuriating when the cameras don't catch something and we have to talk about it on camera later.
Okay.
And I'm like,
well, it happened before the crew got there. They're labor, probably, or
yeah,
union.
But,
they have certain
but I'm,
hours.
No, I get that. I'm saying there's got to be a better way than just saying, we just had a huge fight. It's not a satisfying way of doing television. So either cut it completely or find a way to, because we never even found out what this was about. He just said, she doesn't understand my culture.
Yeah, that's true. I guess the fight was about she wanted to be loved in public.
But we don't know. But nothing is explicit.
It's true. We don't know.
And if you're not, if you don't catch something on camera, be thorough enough from your questioning from producers. Well, maybe she's so dumb and he was having a hard time. He's so cagey because he's so afraid of looking either nasty or unkind on camera.
Yeah.
Even though he's said some really mean shit to her.
He's really said some mean shit to her.
But it's so weird. We don't know what the fight was about. We assume it was about him either not hugging her or her face in his shoulder.
Or her just wanting to, like, literally wanting him to let, or she wanted him to sleep on the bed and she wanted to just roll on top of him and sleep like a like a baby monkey sleeps on a mama,
yes.
Mama, older, yeah.
She wanted to lay on him like an amoeba.
Yeah, just like,
and just spread out and absorb into him.
Yes. And he would just absorb into her.
And she just wanted to put her craft single hands all over him, just sweaty and cold.
Cheesy. Yeah.
They also contain 10% milk. You'll remember when Kraft Singles tried to sell us the fact they were natural,
that they had
milk in 10% them?
10% only.
Was it 10%?
I don't know.
It's
funny to me now that it's cheese, which should be 100% milk. And they're like, 10%?
I don't know if that was the figure, 10% milk. But I remember they were trying to sell us
something
the fact
like
that it had a lot of milk in it. Now they're like, it melts well, don't ask. That's their slogan. I'd still buy it. You know what? Because there ain't nothing better than a grilled cheese with American cheese. I will say that. Now, y'all know I've given away my fancy grilled cheese recipe before.
And people enjoyed it.
That is a fancy grilled cheese with Gruyere and fig jam and arugula.
But
and
when you're sick and you don't feel good,
when you're sick and you're not feeling good, and you just want a day where you're either depressed and like you haven't had sex in a while,
maybe
you got some Campbell's tomato soup, the shitty kind,
yeah,
and you get yourself some Wonder Bread.
That's what Papa Mar likes because you know those fresh tomato. Tomato soups, they got those fresh herbs that give that kick, as he says.
You mean like salt and pepper?
Man, it kicks. It tastes too fresh.
I can't believe that's his complaint.
That is his complaint?
Crazy.
My brother called last night. He said, did you know, my father said, hey, I want you to go to Chicken Express and get me some fish. And Brian said, I didn't even know they had fish at Chicken Express. I said, apparently, yeah, they do.
So there's a restaurant called Chicken Express?
Yeah.
Got it.
It's where the Long John Silver's used to be, so that's why I think they still carry the fish.
There's a curse. There's a curse on the place that says they still have to serve fish.
Well, I think because of the fish, when you're in a small town, the fish place was there so long, and now there's nowhere to get Long John Silver's,
right.
No hush puppies or nothing. It's kind of like,
maybe people still just deliver fish there.
Maybe that's it.
No one ever canceled the order.
It's that's it. They just kept delivering. It's kind of like the
here comes our fish order.
I'm blanking. What's the name of the
riveting? Riveting.
There's the. It used to be Paco's Mexican food. Oh, and then...
I like how you're asking me this, like I know.
Well, this place was Paco's Mexican food. Then it became Catfish Louie's. Well, then it became Paco's Mexican food again. And now it's called Catfish Corner. And one side of the menu is Paco's Mexican, and the other side is Catfish Louie's.
You know...
Everybody's happy.
I think we've officially bottomed out. We need to get back...
Your restaurants that serve weird shit.
We need to get back to something even less riveting.
So y'all, so But yes, she's walking out. She's crying. And
remember the previous episodes when she literally body checked him.
She body checked him. She said, "You don't care about me?" And he's like, "No, I don't care about anything you say. And she goes out. Y'all, this time she's mad. She's so mad she walks up steps. She walks up steps.
And then she just like absorbs into the floor somehow.
She sees his mom and I think it's on her part. I think it's all for show.
Yeah.
She just falls against the door like someone in a Lifetime movie that just found out their child died.
Yeah.
And kind of sinks to and the mother just kind of pats her head like an old dog that she doesn't know what that it just came to the front door and she doesn't know what to say because she's afraid she's going to bite her.
I think probably Azan's mom, whose name is Nezha, I'm sure she has a dumb child, so she knows how to handle the dumb children because Nicole is the dumb child in the family.
She is. She does kind of know how to handle her.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Azan's dumb.
No, he's just gay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yo, that's why he's unrealistic with Nicole. Because he's desperate to find a way out of where he is.
And every time she touches him with her cheese hand, he recoils.
With good reason.
Because he's not into that.
No. With good reason.
He needs somebody like Jake's neighbor that I met the other day.
Which one?
The one I told you, y'all, I left Jake's house yesterday, and I was walking to my car.
Oh, that queen.
And there's this queen who was wearing this. I called it, apparently I got checked. I called it Area Stop-A-L-A. And Poodle said.
And I went, you moron, it's Aeropostale.
Well, who knows? And where I'm from, everybody called it Aeropostale.
Shut up. But no one actually said that.
But I never shopped there because it was kind of, I was too old. We were too old. You should never have owned anything from there. You were too old to buy it.
I thought that you made that up in your head.
No, that's what we call it, Aeropostale.
Aeropostale.
We don't say that in Oklahoma. So anyway, if I thought about it, but anyway, he was wearing an Aeropostale shirt, walking his Cocker Spaniel, and I was walking by to my car, and he looked at me.
But
and
you also make eye contact with strangers.
Would you let me finish the story, not gaslight me and make me feel shamed? All I said was,
that's my job.
Although I am very proud that I say hi to strangers, and I will never, I love that about me. I love that I do that.
But it's Los Angeles, and
nope. Okay. I will see people for who they are, wherever they are. I'm not just going to walk past them like I'm a king.
That's not what I do.
Well, I'm not.
I'll nod my head if they look in my direction. That's
all. And if you would let me tell the story, he looked at me and smiled first. And
yeah, I'm sure.
And I just nodded my head, and he said, hi. And I said, hello, how are you? And he said, horny. And I went, I guess, aren't we all? Y'all,
wow.
He wanted me to put down my backpack and say, well, let's go then. And we were just going to get behind a bush. He'd probably tie his dog to his tree. And
I'm
he probably
you,
would just
you
probably
did
have me on my knees with his limp dick just trying to like put it in my face.
You indicated that he would.
Normally I would think there would be, but I'm telling you this time, this guy. Oh, I'm glad the lawn people are here.
Yeah, it's Wednesday.
Although everybody said they didn't hear the dead bodies being drugged.
That's good.
Above your,
That's
with your
good.
Neighbor.
No, dismembered.
Dismembered, yes. So anyway, y'all, I'm just saying, be careful who you say hi to around Poodle's apartment. If you're on Santa Monica Boulevard between Genesee and Vine at about 11:30 at night, be careful.
Don't say where I live.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She says, I'm upset. But the family, they sit down, and the brother-in-law, who's there, rationally and calmly says, I don't say his name because you're going to butcher it.
I-C-H-A-M.
What?
I-H-I-C-H-A-M.
H-I-C-H.
A-M. Hicham?
Hicham or Hicham?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway. That sounds like a
very smart man. That's what
Hebrew pronunciation. Hicham, yeah.
But y'all, he literally they're talking to her, and he says to Nicole, did you read anything about Morocco before you came?
In the nicest way possible.
His family, they're all saints.
Yeah.
They all handle this much better than Yazin's family.
Oh, Jesus. You mean calling Brittany a whore?
Yes. Yes. Didn't go good.
So he said, and for my wife, when we're in public, I just hold her hand.
And
Nicole's like, oh, so you mean I need to think it's a different culture?
So you mean it's like I'm in a different country?
Oh, okay. Oh. And he says, here is different. She goes, that makes sense.
Now, I will say, not in Nicole's defense, but she says that Azen didn't tell her anything about this.
Which
I agree that he
probably believed that.
I don't think he prepped her on anything coming to Morocco.
Yeah. I don't think he's a prepper. I think he lives right in the moment.
I don't think he's not as dumb as y'all. We had a very rigorous debate in the Patreon comments last episode of who's dumber, Sean or Nicole.
Or Nicole.
And y'all got really into it.
Yeah.
It's still kind of 50-50.
Yeah, it's a close race. I understand the fact that Sean from Lalu had savings and actually knew what he was doing. But the fact that Nicole
would never be able to afford a $50,000. She wouldn't even know how to get a loan.
Right. So
I don't think he's a brainiac.
No. No. Neither of these people are.
Yeah.
So we are, and the brother-in-law says, you must accept her culture and he will accept yours.
Yes.
So y'all,
Azan's like, this is fine now, but I worry this is going to happen again.
So there's a weird thing that happens, and it feels like a passage of time, but maybe it's not. All of a sudden, we're at the table, and the tagine is there, and she's like, this looks like a good tagine.
Is there fries in this?
So she knows what a tagine is. She can say it, and is excited about eating it.
And she eats it with the family.
Yes, and doesn't spit out a bite.
It's so weird just seeing her sit there with their family. She's so, like, towhead blonde, and it looks like they found her in the wild.
It does.
And just took her in.
It is like their
Nell
kind of blonde rescue child.
Yes. She was just wandering the street.
They're blonde, dumb rescue human.
Yes, come here, human golden retriever.
Are you hungry?
Yes.
You know what? Don't insult golden retrievers that way.
That's true.
Boy, y'all, and I've come for golden retrievers many times. Just look in their eyes and just like they're just vacant.
It's true.
Hollow, brainless. They'll love you until you die, but still.
Nicole says, well, I'll have to learn to live with it.
And they also, you guys, he's very exciting because they are going to a certain place for camping.
Yeah.
He is showing her.
The desert.
Will a stupid idiot from Florida be able to adapt to the harsh realities, the sand that is piled in dunes instead of flat, the fact that there are no cars? These are all things she said.
I had to say,
and
that theme went in through my head this entire thing.
Me too. I feel like they wouldn't have paid for it because TLC's cheap, y'all.
Yeah.
Someone should have copied this theme.
That's
Lawrence of Arabia, by the way, if you don't know.
There's a royalty-free Lawrence of Arabia
I
out
know.
There that's like, ba 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 ba.
I know. Someone wrote it.
Write it. Make that money.
I find a lot of their music choices either completely uninspiring or just they don't work.
It's just basic.
Yeah.
It's not anything like I have to say, I think Lalu is a better produced show.
You know, I'm going to agree with you.
The music supervision's always really good.
Yep.
Now, granted, it's on 480p, so people look grainy because it's shot on a BlackBerry Pearl.
It is, with a broken screen.
Yeah.
The BlackBerry Pearl.
It is. All right, y'all.
I loved my BlackBerry Pearl,
too.
Even when it had rice in it.
It's true. So they're taking... They're taking the trip to desert. It's his favorite place. And now they're in the car ride.
This
He's
is
touching.
A classic, classless episode.
This and next episode are kind of... If you don't watch the show, you just listen to us, you need to watch these episodes.
I don't know what those are called. It's a head rep. It's like sheiks wear them. There's this...
She calls it a turban.
She calls it a turban.
Yes.
Maybe that's what they call them,
y'all,
too.
But she's got a head
wrap. She's got a purple turban.
She's riding a camel. She gets on the camel. The camel's making these noises.
It looks like she... Getting on that camel, she looks like a child at Disney World.
Yep. In Adventureland.
Who is riding an animatronic camel.
That
she's
fake
so
camel,
excited about
a
it.
A camel named Jimi Hendrix. So, y'all, it's funny you said that, too, because they get on, Asen gets on the camel, and as soon as she turns around, she's like, ooh, you look sexy.
Ugh.
And so, y'all, funny you should say this, Poodle, because I did some deep digging, and y'all, they show them riding through the desert for a while, and like, they start in the day and they go into night. So they're riding for a long time.
Look at the shadows.
We get, a little bit. Nicole's like, ooh, look at the shadows. Again, because she saw those in Aladdin. That was like a scene from a. So, y'all, they start this camel ride. If you notice, it's in the day.
Yeah.
And they go into night.
She had lots of other questions.
A lot of people don't know. We got the extended cut. And so we were able to watch it. We can't replay that because Discovery hates us.
But we were able to. It actually went on for 15 minutes of
15
them
minutes.
Just walking in the desert.
Riding
in
the camels in the desert. Poodle. What are some other things noticed about the desert?
Or questions, things that she just asked.
She wondered.
She asked.
Actually, we're going to call this Nicole Wondering in the Desert.
Well done.
Get it?
Wondering.
It's a pun.
Nicole Wondering in the desert.
All right.
Hey,
I wonder
which direction is Agrabah.
That's not the real place. That is in the movie.
Yeah,
Aladdin.
It's in Aladdin. If it's in a Disney movie, it's real.
No, that's not real.
No, it's like
not real.
You know, the guy comes on at the beginning, and his voice always sounded familiar to me. Why was that?
It's because it's not real.
Oh. Got it.
She also asked, "Hey, Asen." Where does Indiana Jones live?
Isn't he here? Again, not a real person.
What? I saw him. He was here in the desert.
She also said, hey, do they have scorpions here? Like the kind that like raise up and they sting people like you see on like the Discovery Channel?
Yes, they do have scorpions.
Oh, my God, there's scorpions here.
You're on a camel. They can't reach you.
They could jump and get in my turban.
They don't jump. That's not a turban. You're
okay.
A white woman.
It's still, you look sexy.
Hey, Asen, where are mummies? Where are mummies, Asen? Are they around here? I'd like to see a mummy.
I came all this way. I demand to see a mummy.
Y'all, you know she was like, "Asen, are there pyramids out here?"
No, totally.
Totally.
Where's the oasis?
Do they have casinos out here like the Mirage? She didn't even know what's in Vegas. Boy.
Where is did they have that group of people who runs by with those big swords? Are we going to see them?
Are they going to get us? I'm scared, Asen.
I can't imagine spending 15 minutes with this person.
No. "Hey, are we by where Cleopatra lived?"
She doesn't know who Cleopatra is.
That's true.
Yeah, anyway, so
y'all, the
idiocy
amount of insufferable questions
that they endured.
Oh,
They are, it looks like, I also would say when she's on that camel, it's like, you know, like outside grocery stores, they have those little riding things that kids get on they want to do. Mm-hmm. She looked like she was on one of those.
Poor Jimi Hendrix. You know he was
really
bored
as
fuck.
She is an overgrown child.
She is an overgrown child, yeah.
God, there's something about her.
This actually, I will say, if it wasn't for Nickel, this looks absolutely lovely.
Oh yeah, like it's wasted on her.
And then they go to this tent, and this tent is set up. It's gorgeous, and
she's like, "Is there air conditioning?"
Yeah, she's like, "Oh, they have air conditioning."
And where's chicken fingers?
Oh yeah,
y'all. She asked for chicken fingers everywhere.
That's the first thing she ate when she got back to Florida. Chicken fingers. So. Anyway, he takes her in this tent.
And they're sharing a tent, and that's like, a big deal. That's the only one they have.
Even Asin's like, they only have one tent. I tried to build another one or like a sandcastle or something, anything for me to sleep in, but I guess this will be okay.
And she's like, yeah, I guess you can check off riding a camel off my bucket list. What do you think she thinks a bucket list is?
She thinks it's... That's a good question.
I think she thinks that people have buckets in their home, mm-hmm. and they just put little slips of paper of things that they want to do.
Well, I mean, they can. That's literally a bucket list. But she probably says it's not on your list if it's not actually in the bucket.
Right. But you understand why people say bucket list, right?
Because you kick the bucket.
Yes.
You die.
Just for clarity.
Shit to do before you die.
I don't think she understands that.
I don't think she does. She does understand, again, Aladdin, because she looks at Asin and says, you look so cute with your turban on.
You're like my Arabian prince. Again, this kind of fetishizing him, and maybe he does that for her, too.
Well, he's
into
it.
Although I don't know what fetish she would be.
He tells us he shows a ring from a very ornate ring box, and he's going to give her the ring.
Yeah, it looks like something you would buy in an airport jewelry store.
Yeah, it's not good. Speaking of
something that's not going to go good.
Let's see someone who doesn't have a ring. Oh. Let's talk about Pedro and Chantel.
So, I continually need to push on this, and I'm going to stop talking about it, but none of this feels real. This episode killed me.
I'm kind of on the fence of, which by the way, new season of we don't recover it, but The Family Chantel is coming back.
No thanks.
In October though, I think.
Yeah. Like, we will not be covering it. We haven't covered any of them.
I think they're going to show Pedro. If there's an episode where Pedro's shirtless a lot or working out, I'm happy.
I'll watch that.
I can do it by curious.
But here's why
I do it by curious.
Here's why I say this.
I'll have to get Poodle real drunk for that.
Here's why I say this. They have 6 days to get married.
The only reason I kind of believe it is, y'all, Chantel is. She is, as someone in our Patreon said, she's Hillary from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, nailed it.
And I guess that's what they called her whenever this season aired, she said. That's what people referred to her as. And that's an apt
description. She's a princess.
That she's a princess. But I think she is clueless a little bit to how life works. And I do think she created this secret from her family. The only reason, this is a little bit of a spoiler alert, but next episode when the family sees, I'm kind of like...
That's even
their
worse.
Reaction didn't seem
surprised. It felt
like
we were in Earth 2.
Yeah, it didn't seem like...
Here's another thing. We're going to get into this, but the first thing they're doing... let me say this, and then we'll go back. The second thing with him and the father at the gym...
Uh-huh.
No one would act that way when they don't know anything about their daughter's boyfriend. Yeah, and also, the fact that Chantel, yes, she's probably working, is letting her boyfriend or her fiance, the parents don't even know that, be alone with the father who barely speaks any English.
Well, but by now, He's actually learned a lot more English. Pedro the whole time is acting like he doesn't understand.
Is that it?
He's been there. He's actually been studying English, and he's been there for like two months, so it's getting better.
I get that, but it's really hard to watch.
Oh, it's super hard one. But before all of this, y'all,
right?
Chantel's looking for wedding dresses.
With Gigi.
Who, honestly, y'all, Gigi gets a special place in heaven in my book for putting up with her.
And you know what it is, too? The interesting thing is, usually with storytelling, there is, with 90 Days, you guys, there is this kind of, we're on a clock. We're on that 90-day expiration clock. Mm-hmm. I feel no stakes in this storyline. And I don't know, and I think that's why it feels, maybe it's the fakery that it feels to me.
I think for me, the storyline is just, it just seems unbelievable that person has their head in the sand this much.
Right.
And not seeing the world.
And usually there's the conflict with the parents and there's other people in their family, but it's being kept up to 6 days before the 90 days expires.
Well, it's not 6 days yet. Right now we're 2 weeks out.
Okay, 2 weeks
next,
out.
You're thinking next episode, I think, is when there's...
Oh, yeah.
So, y'all...
But 2 weeks, 6 days.
I know. She's trying on wedding dresses with Gigi. They meet Charlotte, and they're looking at dresses.
Now, we both had a problem with her skirt that she was wearing on the watch-along.
It looked like show choir.
And it looked like a costume.
It looked like a show choir.
There's all of these elements combined for me.
See, which for you make you think it's fake. All of the elements combined for me go... make me kind of believe there's reality to it. Because it's all just so much. It's all so crazy to me. I don't know. So
everything feels like a pose.
We need to move on because it's just... we need more information. We need a sissy who knows this.
So, I'll just book report this.
We're getting...
And it's hard for me, and it's...
We're not getting all the story. That's what I'm saying.
I think it's hard for me to really get inside her world because she doesn't really show emotion until this episode. And
that's another thing that makes me believe she seems so cut off. It's like,
but that's not compelling.
But it's not compelling. But like, does she tell herself in this head, "What's gonna? It's gonna work out," or "I'm not gonna avoid it. I'm gonna avoid it."
But to me, that's not good TV.
No, I'm not talking about... I think you're talking about storytelling and is it good storytelling, and I get that. And I'm talking about, I think this is kind of her dysfunction that's creating all this, that causing them... They're not able to tell the good story because she's dysfunctioned the way she's handling this.
Well, the producers have to... That means, as a producer, you have to work harder.
They do, yeah.
And that's not happening.
But they did something right because people love the season and she blew up after this.
Maybe it gets better.
Maybe.
Did she blow up?
Yeah, this is where she has her own fucking spinoff, The Family Chantel. Like,
I know, but
I think they were on Happily Ever After where they were. Because his family is
Cuckoo Magoo.
Cuckoo Magoo, and that's
with
where
that, his
really,
mom and sister.
I guess it was Happily
no,
Ever
No, it was
after.
The family that blew up. They are fine. It's the family.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just find both of them, even though I find him hot, I find them just not compelling.
They're fine.
But think about the women we've seen before who've done this kind of, who've been in similar situations with their families. Think about someone like Anna Marcel. We immediately know the struggle that she's going through, even though she has three kids. Or I'm trying to think about even Melanie and DeVar. Melanie was kind of a harder person. But we understood that. We don't see anything from Chantel.
No, I agree.
And I think that's a mistake in storytelling, and it's a mistake. That's why it feels falsely constructed to me. But maybe I'm wrong.
No, we've asked sissies. No one's come for us with that info.
So she's trying on dresses. Like, you guys, she looks great. She looks great in everything.
She does.
Although she's wearing a purple bra to try on dresses on, God knows why.
Oh, she's like, well, and then she tries on dresses and she's like, it just hit me that my mom is in here to watch me try on dresses.
That's obvious for everyone watching. Yeah. That everyone thinks you're shitty for doing this.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, she is just, she lives in denial.
But I'm saying... The fact that she's having that, and the cameras and the producers are there saying, oh, this is a real human moment for her. No, this is fucked up. She should have realized this 3 months ago.
I know.
Yeah, I have no sympathy for her.
No, she's all created in her own.
So anyway, and the bridal shop attendant's like, yay, no commission for me.
Yeah, she's like, I'm gonna have to come back. She went great. Just great.
So the next thing, Pedro, this is the scene where I was talking about earlier. Pedro is working out at his apartment complex gym with Chantel's father.
Yeah.
And y'all, we know this is gonna be, this is the other thing. It's cruel for Chantel to make Pedro interact with her family,
I think,
who are already distrustful and weird with him.
I mentioned this before, but the whole thing is, and we'll see this kind of next episode, but she treats Pedro like a whipping dog to me.
Yeah, whipping boy.
What did I say?
Whipping
Gary,
dog.
Whipping, yeah. But she completely throws him under the bus. She is the reason why the family is distrustful. She created all of that.
Right.
I think if she had been honest from the get-go, they would have a much better feeling about him. But the family isn't going to distrust her.
Right.
Or be mad at her. They're going to blame it on Pedro. And she did it all.
Yeah.
Because she can't protect... Y'all, Chantel, if it wasn't for reoccurring payments, she wouldn't even pay her bills on time. I think... She gets easily overwhelmed by life.
Yeah.
And so she puts everything off.
I get that. There was, and this
I
maybe.
Mean, she's vacuuming this episode and gets, and she's overwhelmed.
I agree with you. I'm saying as a producer and as a storyteller, there may have been a way to tell that better.
Yeah.
Than what, this is episode 6.
I agree with that. I'm just talking about her now.
Right.
I'm just talking about her and, yeah.
But I know you're talking about her, but you're inferring that's not been the story we've been told.
I know, but I can tell.
Yeah, but that's not the storytelling. It's just not.
No, yeah.
You're having to. That's not what we do. We do that.
Yeah,
but I mean, say in reality shows, we should not. She's supposed to be a person we root for.
Yeah,
and we can't do that.
No, I agree.
So I'm saying the problem here is. Not just the person they chose, but the storytelling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so I don't even go through all this. The dad is basically just saying things like, so do you like Chantel? He's like, no, I love Chantel. Blah, blah, blah. What are your plans? I don't understand. What are your plans? I don't understand.
He just completely.
It's awful.
He speaks English pretty good at first. And then as soon as the dad starts asking questions.
And this is the thing.
Chantel, I mean, to be honest. Poodle's done this in places where he just pretends he doesn't speak English.
No, I did that when I was in Europe. When I was living in Europe, when American tourists would ask me things, I would say, "Spreche kein Englisch." Spreche kein Englisch.
What if then they spoke the language to you?
They wouldn't, because American tourists would always approach me in English.
Oh, okay.
You're giving American tourists way too much credit.
Way too much credit.
But no, I want to just follow up with you, and this is why the fakery hit me. If I was her father now and hearing all this, he would have obviously went to Chantel or something, because they're so hands-off.
Yeah.
And I would have went to Chantel and says, I'm worried about, in the 90-day mode, I'm worried about your boyfriend.
Yeah.
There's nothing around him. No. I think you're getting taken for a ride.
It's weird with the whole, because we're in what? We're in, their storyline's weird too, because we're in episode 6.
And it is
almost the end 3 of the 90
months.
Days.
That's what I'm saying.
So
everyone else is early.
Everyone else is like 45 days in.
Something's not right.
I agree.
But basically, this idea that, he's saying there's no plans for the future. And I guess he would be concerned. And he seems like, but the fact he doesn't make a move makes him seem like kind of a crappy father who doesn't really care about his daughter.
It's, I mean, I don't know.
Or they're too hands off with it.
They're too hands
Something
off.
Something doesn't ring right.
I agree.
Next thing, I will shut up about this. I promise
you. Every time Poodle says something doesn't ring right, take a drink. You'll be drunk.
But I will say, this is the first storyline that I've had a real problem tracking how people feel. Because the show is usually so good at telling us that.
Yeah, I agree.
The next thing is, Chantel is saying, there's some negative energy between Pedro and I, and basically...
That's when she's vacuuming, and she's like, I need a break.
The reason there's negative energy between you and Pedro...
Because she created
it. Meaning, is because he is uncomfortable with the lie you're making him live.
Yeah.
And you are... You're also uncomfortable with that.
And he doesn't either not understand, but he doesn't want to. He can't
live.
He's
trying to live according to your principles,
your rules, and you set up unrealistic expectations for him that just make him look. And he probably knows you're making him look like shit.
I mean, this is why I'm saying she comes off like a monster.
Yeah, I'm terrible.
And terrible. It's just like I don't know. Anyway, terrible. So she's seeing Gigi later. I'm like, Gigi, why are you hanging out?
Y'all,
every scene with Chantel. Even more so the next episode, she looks sicker in every scene.
She does look sicker and sicker, and like she's losing her powers or something like that.
She's kind of turning yellow.
Meanwhile, y'all, Gigi is sitting at this coffee shop, and they get their drinks. And
looking
Gigi,
like a snack.
And Gigi just kind of looks at her and goes,
yeah.
Just waiting. And again, y'all, Gigi is that friend. I know because I've been that friend where people come to me and they complain about the same thing.
And you go, this is a mirror.
Every time. And it's 6 months and they're still talking about the same problem. They're in the same place.
And you go,
nothing's been resolved. Nothing's changed. Y'all, Gigi deserves a special place in heaven. At this point, Gigi's just like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
It's 14 days. You've waited so long. And then finally, Gigi does what I do. She just says, Well, okay, hopefully we can plan something nice on your wedding day. It's all going to be fine. That's what when people start coming to me, I just finally say, it's going to be fine. It'll work out.
I just tell them
what they want to hear.
See,
at this point.
That's what I'll never do.
No, by the time the 15th time they've come to you, I've learned if you keep engaging with people, it just takes your energy.
I agree with you. I won't say that in a nice way. It'll be fine. I'm like, I can't talk to you about this.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Yeah. Work it out.
Right. I will say, I've given you my opinion on this. I'm not even being nice about it.
Yeah.
But
Gigi is exhausted.
But she even says, and then there was something that happens when Chantel this, and this also felt really massaged. And she gets out and she's like, we're going to get married. And it's going to be in a, I don't want to get married in a park. I always thought it would be a big wedding. And I always thought that I'd get married and there'll be like a carriage and there'd be a blah, blah. And I'm like, I feel nothing for you.
Yeah, I don't feel sorry for her at all.
That's why I'm talking about it's a mistake in storytelling here. This is always supposed to make us have empathy for this person. There's zero.
No.
And then, so she's losing. She's like, don't film this. I don't want to be on camera right now. I'm like, we have a contract.
I think when people watch this, it wasn't so much, maybe they didn't want to have sympathy for her. They wanted to be like, this bitch is dumb. She needs to shit or get off the pot.
Yeah, they tell stories like that very differently, though.
Yeah.
Because they usually keep asking them questions and they let the person hang themselves.
Yeah.
And,
Speaking of hanging your, putting yourself out to dry, let's talk about Narkia and Lowo.
Lowo.
Lowo. Y'all, she's stressed and she's drinking Malibu rum.
I noticed that too, just in a big red tumbler.
With red tumbler with some ice. I don't even think there's a mixer.
No, she's
done.
Come
at us if you like your Malibu rum.
It's so sweet, that shit.
I haven't had it since I was maybe like 19 years old.
When I saw her get out that Malibu.
I was like,
it took me back.
Woo!
So she is waiting to find out the results of his visa interview. And she's just waiting. And it's almost like those shows where you just watch the clock go by.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
She's sitting there. She's probably cleaning her apartment. She's watching an episode of Maury.
Yep.
She's finally fading
into different little tableaus.
She finally goes to bed 11 hours later. He calls her, wakes her up, And he's like, guess what? My visa's approved.
He said in 5 to 10 days, he will get the visa.
And she's like, don't take this the wrong way, but.
Why didn't I hear from you? I called your ass all day.
Now, this is already someone who she has caught in a lie so many times. And I will say, her response to him is to hold him accountable by making him take pictures of everything. And I don't think that's the appropriate response.
No.
Because it if anything, it just kind of strikes back and doesn't build anything.
Yes, it doesn't build anything at all. He says, though, that he had to give his phone and everything metal to someone.
And it was stolen.
And it was stolen.
His rings,
I kind of believe
everything.
That.
I don't know with this guy. She's basically not been able to trust anything. But the thing is, why didn't he lead with that? Why didn't he lead with, hey, sorry, it took me so long to call you. My phone was stolen. My rings were stolen. Blah, blah, blah. But guess what? I'm approved for my visa.
Maybe he wanted to start with something good. I don't know.
That's not how that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
Well, it's also maybe it's a cultural, you know, if this was like Danielle and Amber from Love in Paradise, you know, he talks about everything takes so much longer. He probably would have just totally just been like, they're fine.
But this is someone who he knows he's already lied to, and he knows who she is.
I hope he comes over though.
Come on. If he gets over to the U.S., if they make it.
Just because I bet it's hot.
I will eat my hat.
I don't think he's going to come over either, but I just want to see them. I think it would be good to be. But she's saying, I have distrust. And she's like, you didn't know how I was feeling. You didn't know how worried I was. And he's like, I'm so sorry, baby. I love
she's
you.
She's like, and make sure to send me a picture of that phone.
Yeah. And that's kind of it. She's like said, I'm just worried he's not the person he says he is.
But she says she's really about four minds here. She's like, we're meant together, but I don't know if I can. We're meant to be together, but I don't know if I can trust him. Yeah. I mean, I can't wait for to see him, and I love him, but I think he's really doing me wrong.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, she has people in her life like her two friends, but she only listens to herself, and that's her fatal
flaw.
She only
listens to herself. Ugh. Can we talk about Matt and Ala?
I had Jorge on Feast
next. I know. I kind of want to end with him.
All right. Good.
So, y'all, let's talk about Matt and Ala. Because it's short as well. Kind of, they're shopping for wedding bands.
At the Castle.
The Castle,
which used
y'all.
To be a gay club in Greenville, South Carolina.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure.
I heard.
I'm sure you definitely got the sword out of that stone. Yeah.
Excalibur.
So, y'all, it's fine. They've got a little Max can play in the little castle area. They're shopping for wedding bands.
I was like, is this a jewelry shop or a combination pawn shop?
I feel like they sold guns in another section. Like they had, there's really nothing. Y'all, they're very normal.
They are.
Ala is very, they're just shopping and they talk about like normal things. Like she's from the Ukraine. Over there, you put your wedding band on your right hand.
Right.
And then when you put your wedding band on your left hand, that's when you do that after your divorce. And she tells Matt that, and she's like, so when I go back, people will think I'm single. And Matt goes,
and this kind of jewelry store attendant who I just called Bud says, so you've been married before, talking to her. She's like, I have. And she's like, you kept the ring? It's all a little too chatty for me.
Yeah.
I know you would do this, but I prefer a salesperson who doesn't ask too many questions.
That's why Poodle should do everything online. You really shouldn't talk to people.
So, no, you know what? Not everyone's chatty, and I'm completely okay with it.
Yeah.
So then he says to Matt, because he thinks it's an okay question to ask, he's like, and you've been married before. And he's like, I've been married 3 times before. And Bud's face just kind of takes it in and goes, it's this last time, right?
Yeah. And at least I'll have a repeat customer.
And at that moment, you saw Bud say, well, shit, here we go. Because he's seen a guy like this.
Yeah.
Now, he doesn't know Matt.
He doesn't know Matt.
And I will say, Matt is one of the few people we've had on this show who have been married so many times who I think might work with someone like Ala. I think
it's
Ala's
all,
so
it's all
grounded.
Ala. It's her. I think she would make it work with almost, someone would have to be just a terrible piece of shit for her not to make it work.
Yeah, agree.
Anyway, they pick out a ring and she's like, yep, this
it's
is
cute.
Great. And it's such reasonable expectations. And she knows the situation and she's empathetic to him where he is. It is the complete opposite
of George and Anfisa.
A George and Antifa.
We're wedding dress shopping.
Bing, bing, bing. First of all, y'all, she's like, George, he's out of town all the time, and I got a
cat. So I got the cat.
Y'all, I'm going to say this right now. She never cleans the litter.
No.
She makes him do that as well.
This cat's name is... Valentino. It's definitely a
and
designer.
Valentino. I don't even know if she has a cat now. Who knows? Mary, maybe Sissy Mary, can you let us know? Did Anfisa keep the cat?
She just left it at the just and hoped it was. It would. If she just left it, turned it loose in their apartment.
We'll see. So yeah. Oh. Goodness.
So they are, they're going to the bridal boutique. Yes. Pastiche.
No, panache.
Panache, sorry.
I know this, y'all.
I knew it was something else.
We've been there. Our friend Sissy bought her wedding dress at panache.
I've worn a fascinator there.
You put on a fascinator.
Yes.
We sat in the, it's in Beverly Hills. It is a nice shop.
And you wouldn't shut up talking to all the people
there. I will
there.
Say, it's not the most, it's very nice, but it's not
it's
like
not
the,
as frou-frou.
It's not like the crazy high end.
No, it's not so deep in Beverly Hills.
Yes, but it is a very nice shop. They have
it is
dresses
on Wilshire,
of all
right
types.
Yeah.
Y'all, I loved panache. I talked to everyone. I helped like three brides when I was there. The manager asked me if I wanted a job there. On the spot. Would have hired
she
me
was just being
on
nice.
The spot.
She's
no,
just being nice.
Not she, he. You weren't paying attention. You were trying to fuck a groomsman that was there. I'm just saying, why can't you let me have this? I could have gone into a whole different career. I bet you I'd be such a good bridal salesman. I'd make that queen on Say Yes to the Dress look like an amateur.
You would be dealing with nonstop Karens.
Oh, but I know how to deal with them.
Ugh.
Y'all, you just compliment their eyeshadow, and suddenly they're putty in your hands.
Anyway.
God, I missed my calling.
So, they're sitting there, and I like it, and the producer asked them, and they're in the moment, they're like, are you guys looking forward to get married? And he looks at her, and she in her stone face just looks back at him.
She's
and
what?
He's like, definitely. And he's just like, well, you look at me.
Well, no, he says, I want to see your response. And she goes, oh. And he's like, yeah, I'm excited. And that's when she goes, definitely. And didn't even move her face.
The ability that she has to have that poker face, it may have been just because of the surgeries. But
possibly.
She, the kind of, that she doesn't give up a smile. And when she does smile... That is definitely, that's a whole semester in Poodleskaya courses.
Oh.
In the Poodleskaya Institute.
Yes.
Yes. So.
Also, another, I think something she learned a lot from her training. When you get to a bridal shop, the first thing you want to ask, What's most expensive dress?
And bring that one out first.
And.
Do you have caviar?
Now, this is why I don't feel sorry for Jorge.
No,
because he says
George.
I'm sorry, George. He says whatever makes you happy. Whatever makes
that's and he said that from moment one.
And we see, and Fisa is right.
Yeah,
he promised her all along that she's a. I bet he says you're my princess.
Yep,
you're my queen. Whatever you want, everything is yours. So, I bet you,
and she took that as gospel.
If he told her, hey, look, when you come over, I can spend $5,000 on a dress, like the most we can spend on the wedding is $20,000, she would either, well, she would not have accepted. She would have moved on to another mark.
Yes.
But this is all his own doing, because don't you think...
But she's justified in saying all this.
Because don't you think somewhere down deep, he knows if he put those boundaries on her, she would...
She'd leave.
Leave, and then he would just be alone.
Well... And his tactic is using rational thought to tell her things.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, no, that's not how this works.
No.
Yeah. And also, he's trying to use, but don't you feel sorry for taking money? And she's like, no.
No.
That's not how this works.
Because if I wanted to be with someone from love, I would be with someone who looks like Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Because I could be.
Or I would be with someone who my grandmother set me up with.
Yes.
So I could be in a stable, but I've decided my tastes are more expensive than that.
Yeah.
And I want something, I want a rich, I want more bags, more shoes, a nicer life. And dating and marrying someone like George, mm-hmm. who is a schlub,
mm-hmm.
she's willing, because y'all know, she's not attracted to him.
Not at all.
Yeah, anyway.
The love's not there. And guess what, y'all? George is not in love with her either.
No.
He thinks he is. He's just...
She's a blow-up doll.
She's just another car that he's driving yep. around.
So, yeah, I have no... I don't have any sympathy for him at all.
Yeah, I don't either.
So, anyway, they try on some dresses, you guys.
Let's hope we don't eat those words.
None of these dresses really did anything for me.
Even the $45,000
dress... No, that was the worst one.
All these dresses weren't... And I have literally rummaged through the racks at Panache and found several dresses. Because this one woman came out in this mermaid dress. And I said, honey, that's not for you. You need something more with an A-line. You need something. You know what? I'm not going to go here.
You think that this is charming, but it's actually really annoying.
I'm just saying, they have a lot prettier dresses.
I agree.
It did drive Poodle crazy.
I liked it when she said... the $45,000, she's like, that's 60% down today. And Anfisa says, without missing a beat, so that's $20,000 down today. No problem.
Yeah, she understands math real quick. Real quick.
She calculates like that in her head.
Well, because she's a robot.
Yeah. So she says in her,
George
in the moment.
Says, well, I was going to spend a couple of thousand on a dress.
And she goes, rolls her eyes. That's... The thing is, you're right. He's kind of has these tacit expectations, these tacit budget things. She hasn't even, that's not what's going on.
No, that's not what's going on at all.
So the next thing is, she says, I deserve expensive things that make me look beautiful.
I've come all this way, because he says, well, when he says a $45,000 dress, he's like, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen finally. She says, I've come all this way, and now I don't get what I want.
And she goes, I'm mad at you.
I'm mad at you. And he's like, well, I don't have $20,000. And she's like, so it's my problem? Is this where she tells him to sell her car? Is that next episode? There's somewhere she's like, you could sell that car.
Next episode.
Oh, okay. Sorry. And here's the deal. As Jorge says, she kind of likes to be bossy, and normally I kind of like that. And I went, he admits it right there. Y'all, this is kink.
Yeah.
It's kink.
Yeah.
He gets off on being bossed around yep. and being made like a fucking wet dish towel.
Yep.
He wants to be that.
But it's real now, because instead of having these DMs about what are you going to do to me, this is someone in real life who wants to get married and take all your money.
Yes.
And so it's not fun anymore.
And he would never probably have her be like a dominatrix or leather, because...
Yes, he would.
No, I don't think he would, because I think that would seem feminine to him or not.
Oh.
Not masculine. So this is the way she can kind of like dominate him with money and all this
right.
shit.
Take his money. Yep, I get it.
And George is like, and she even says, she's like, well, if you can't afford it, then be straightforward. Because
right.
he's not being straightforward. He's like, it's just all it's happening so quick. It's because she said, you tell me that you can get me these things. And he said, I know, but you want everything now. And she said, well, you promised me all these things. He said,
right.
you want everything today. And then Fisa says,
I'm mad at you.
Part of me wants to go back to Russia.
And y'all, as soon as she drops that, that's her ace. He will always do what she wants.
Yeah.
As long as she threatens to leave.
Yep.
And... I guess that's the cost of being his, like, fuck pillow. Because that's what it is.
Gross!
No, seriously, that's what she is. She's his fuck pillow.
Uh. That's the show, everybody.
That's the show.
Y'all, go to realitygazepodcast.com. You can go to our Instagram, Reality Gaze Podcast. You can also go to our Twitter, Reality Gaze Pod. Y'all, we appreciate you. Y'all are really getting into season four. We appreciate it. I adore this season. We're having the best time covering it. If you could go and leave a review on Apple Podcasts, we would appreciate it. Sign up for the newsletter. And with that,
if you've ever looked out on the desert,
we call them lonely hearts, everyone, because aren't we all lonely, lonely hearts wandering the desert, the hot desert, just looking for love, Poodle?
And if you've looked out on the desert and asked, is there an Applebee's nearby? Call us.